Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis for Monday, May 2nd, 2011, episode 6.5.2. I did it.
It's actually episode 6.5.02.
Son of a... Oh, I was so close.
Yes.
It is the draft review show.
Don't try to take my spot.
Don't take the big dog's job. You'll lose. Yes. You'll fail. You will fail.
I don't know why you're doing that, but it's the NFL draft recap show.
I had to try in the untimely event of your passing. I have to do it alone.
Yes.
Saw a Modern Family last night where they were playing.
I don't want to know. We're watching it tonight.
It's an old one.
Now you know. Which one is it?
It's the guys planning for the death of their daughter.
No, I don't remember that one.
Okay. Well, you'll enjoy it. That's just what it's about. That's all.
Okay.
So there you go. So welcome. Yes. We're back from New York. Flew back in last night. And boy, what a trip.
Are my arms tired?
I didn't say it. Okay. I wasn't
going
to say it.
I thought you were going there.
I know.
I was finishing it for you.
I like to mix it up sometimes. Yes. I don't want to be too predictable.
Boy, my arms are tired.
Yeah, just flew from New York. And boy, are my arms tired. If you're going to do my joke, do it right. You have to do the laugh first. Boy, are my arms tired. Yeah. Right. It's a lame joke, but it's mine. Yes. And we had a fantastic trip. New York City is such a place. My gosh, what a place.
I have decided I love the city. I hate the people.
You hate the horns and you hate the people that pass the horns. And
yes.
You hate the people who
the robotic people that are just walking from A to B. Get out of my way. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're going. If I run you over, I don't care.
Well, when
get out of my town.
When I'm there, I'm one of them. So you hate me when I'm
there? I do. I stay. Why do you think I let you walk to Radio City Music Hall by yourself two nights in a row?
I enjoyed it. I love that walk.
There you go.
And see? The damn tourists that get in the way, just plow them over. Anybody with a map gets plowed over.
It's a sad way
to
live.
Any family of six, plow them over.
Sad, sad way to live. Let's get it started. Episode 6.5.02. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves. You know what, Jeffrey? I think it's going to be very difficult for us to get through all 32 teams today.
We're not going to do all seven rounds of the draft, I assume.
No.
Because, you know,
the way we do it is we talk about, you know, how we feel every team drafted. We look at the NFC East and then the NFC West and the NFC South and the NFC North. And then we look at the AFC West and the AFC East and the AFC South, AFC North.
And then we argue about with the NFC West where St. Louis falls relative to San Francisco alphabetically.
Yes, yes.
Which
we
is
do.
Such a tedious argument.
It is.
I'm not even going to weigh in on it. It's so tedious, I'm not even going to weigh in on it, Steven. I'm moving on.
So who goes first, St. Louis or San Francisco?
Whatever you want, dear.
Thank you. See,
this is what happens when we spend 3-4 days in New York together in a very small hotel room.
Jeffrey just starts agreeing with me because he knows I will pummel him. I will pummel him.
It's what happens after pummeling. So most people don't get there.
Yes.
By the way,
I pummeled Jeffrey while he was sleeping because he was snoring so loud.
And I have bruises to prove it, but I don't remember it.
I'm in the arm. But the dude will just not wake up.
Not if I haven't been allowed to sleep for 3 days. I eventually become unconscious completely.
How were you not allowed to sleep for 3 days?
Well, the night before we left, I didn't get much sleep. And then...
And whose fault was that?
Actually, it was the girl's fault. She was up. She had bad dreams. And when a 13-year-old is a little frightened, then it takes a little longer.
Yes, okay.
You can't just say, go to sleep, dear, and rub her head. And then she falls back asleep like a little one.
Not going to happen.
No, you're up for hours, so...
All right. Well, New York City is New York City.
Lombardi on Broadway.
Great stuff. Dan Laria will share a little interview that we had with him earlier. And actually, we got quite a treat because after the show Lombardi, the actual Packer Hall of Famer Jim Taylor, running back, the first running back, the first player to score a touchdown in any Super Bowl one
here in LA.
Jim Taylor was there after the play, and he answered some questions, and that was good stuff. That was an interesting
treat. More than half the audience had bailed because they had things to do, and so what was fun is we all gathered together. The cast was there because they wanted to learn from him.
Yes.
They wanted to see how they could improve their performance, which I can't imagine how they could because it was so good.
And this just in, Jeffrey, the Carolina Panthers have decided they made a mistake by selecting Cam Newton with the number one pick.
You liar.
And have decided to not try and sign him.
You liar.
Okay,
they
can't
try and sign him because there can't be any contact between teams and players.
But they're just
today.
Not going to try, even when they are allowed to do so.
That would be ironic, to say the least, given how invested they are for the
Cam
next several.
Cam looked good,
years.
Didn't he?
Cam's a great looking kid.
We got
kid.
A great shot. If you have not gone out to our website to look at the photos, Steven was actually good. Steven actually. Why am I talking to myself in the third person?
I was just wondering that myself. Actually,
anyways, Steven was great. He actually, even though it was 3 o'clock in the morning in New York City. Midnight back home in LA, I still managed to get all those photos up on the website from day one. We were right up there with the guys. I mean, we got great shots.
Basically seated to the left of the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
And then put to the left of us was Fox Sports News with Jay Glazer.
And a lot of the guys were coming over
to him was John Clayton and ESPN Radio.
So the guys were coming over there to do, you know, quick, you know, 2-3 minute interviews on the radio, and
this
while they
is
were
just
there,
seconds after they've been drafted,
yeah,
so they are still
exactly,
glowing.
Exactly.
They are
so
still glowing.
I mean, the picture that we have of Prince Amukamura.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude just
Kid's
got
stoked.
This
he's
big
beaming.
Old smile.
It is freaking Christmas like, morning, and he got pong.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, "Do you know who I am?"
You're
no, he
prince.
Did not say that, but he looked like a prince.
He did look like a prince,
yes.
And the Prince of Arizona
Good
is what I'm going to call him.
I
of
had
Arizona.
A great day. One was fabulous.
Day two,
it was okay.
Day three,
not as fabulous as day one.
Day three,
by the time you got to day three, the questions started swirling as to why am I even here.
Well, that would and the NFL supports you, which is why they had no food set aside for the press
right.
on day three.
Right.
Downstairs, and Radio City Music Hall, they had really nice spread for the press, which you kind of come to expect for events and games and things. But by day three, there was not one soda.
But as I
had.
Found out, as we basically tweeted just about every pick,
yeah,
from rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Which was dang near impossible given that we
but
had no
I did
internet.
It, except up until the end when, you know, I had to leave a little early.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day.
Another story for another
yes.
day.
But and we got a lot of tweets of thank you saying, guys, thank you, because if you're watching NFL Network or ESPN or wherever you were watching the draft, you don't get every pick as it happens.
Right.
Because they're talking about something else, and the picks
so
are going like boom, boom, boom. And so you're getting us from us on every tweet, you know, some of the pick,
right.
this pick, this pick, this pick. But ESPN, what they do on NFL Network, what they do is they wait for like 5 or 6 picks, and they're like, and here are the next 6 picks. And they just put a list up.
Yeah.
And so, and then they talk about whichever one of those 6 they want to talk
heard
about.
Of.
Right. Exactly.
Let's be honest.
So
the only guy who knew everything was Eric sitting next to us.
And we'd like to thank Eric. Eric will probably be on our next show.
OptimumScouting.com.
Who just
Eric's a fantastic
a
young
wealth
man.
Of knowledge from
had
all these 400 college folks.
Players that he had in his database.
Yes.
And he had met most of them.
Really?
He had actually spoken to most of them and interviewed most of them, and it certainly broken down film.
That's it. I'm doing that next year.
Kid's phenomenal. Well, all you end up doing is living college football, and you miss the NFL, Steven.
Seriously. Do you think I don't watch any college football as it is now?
He watches all college football, then goes back and watches film.
Ah.
On every single D1,
well,
D2,
how about I
D3,
just watch college
NAIA.
Football, meet most of the top prospects, and then continue with my football life.
That's fun.
In the NFL.
But Eric, the thing is, he's telling us about kids in the NAIA. I can't even say it. NAIA.
Yeah, and none
which
of them
you
are
and
drafted,
I went to an NAIA
so why would
school,
you, why would
which
you,
is crazy.
Why would you put them on your
he
list?
He was hoping. He was actually tweeting with a texting with a guy that he met that he really liked, that he thought he went to a D3 school, and that he thought he was phenomenal and should have been drafted and didn't get drafted. I said, you realize 98% of all kids drafted are D1. There's such a small handful, it's almost statistically insignificant how many get drafted.
Yep.
He's like, he didn't know that stat. He just knew it was a lot. I'm like, yeah, the stats don't lie, bud. And so it was, but he was great. So I'd lean over and go, so who's this guy? And he would tell me, this guy was incarcerated for 24 months for murder and then was acquitted. And it was amazing. And this guy's story is amazing. And his dad, let me tell you about his dad.
Was that amazing?
It was, the guy was fantastic.
It was amazing.
So, yeah, it's been terrific. We've we got two questions already from our post on Facebook already. We've got some questions coming in.
Yes, what are the questions?
First question was from listener James. And he wants to know, what do you think of the Panthers taking Cam Newton first overall?
Hate it.
I've settled in on they had to do it.
Hate it.
I don't think it's good for the club, but they had to do it.
Hate it.
I'm going to put it at a 22% chance that he succeeds.
Hate it.
I understand. I hear loudly and clearly, Stephen, that you hate it. On the 22% chance that he makes it as an NFL player, it will be a fantastic thing for Panthers fans and for the league. And for the organization especially.
Hate it!
But, yeah.
I'm sort of kind of waiting here, continuing to say hate it.
Why do you hate it, Steven?
Waiting for you to ask me to elaborate. Thank you. Hate it!
I already said why, okay. But you want me to beg? Why? Why?
Well, you know, you kept the song. I think I said hate it 10 times.
Why?
Before I got the question asked.
Steven, why?
All right, here you go. Guy's a good-looking guy. Charming, charismatic, all that.
Mr. Hollywood.
But I don't believe he has the desire to be a quarterback in the National Football League.
You said that on TV on Thursday. Everyone heard that.
Everybody in the U.K.,
everyone in the UK was busy getting ready for the wedding.
Exactly. So then nobody heard it.
So nobody. Okay. Well,
so you're going to let me continue, or you're going to say that I've already said it?
Expound on that, won't you?
Bottom line is, he's just gotten a lot of money now. Not sure the desire for him to be the best quarterback that he can be is going to happen. He's going to like more being the celebrity than being a quarterback in the National Football League. And unfortunately, because he will be with a team that won't have the pieces to surround him with just great players that will help him, he is going to struggle miserably. And I'm going on the limb right now saying not only is he going to be a bad quarterback, he's going to be worse than a Vince Young.
Wow. Wow. Okay, but not as bad as Jamarcus Russell.
Not as bad as Jamarcus. So, yeah, so there you go. If you want to put him between those two quarterbacks, he will be worse than Vince Young, but not as bad as Jamarcus Russell.
So you're suggesting
Russell.
That Jimmy Clausen hasn't gained enough NFL experience to try and pass
no!
on to him?
No! What could you tell from the second-round draft pick? Another thing the Carolina Panthers are saying, we made a mistake last year when in the second round we decided to take Jimmy Clausen. We made a big, fat, huge mistake with our second-rounder, and we were stupid for that. That's basically what they're admitting.
Well, usually
by
hope
taking Cam Newton,
a young quarterback can sit behind and watch how a top NFL quarterback.
Wait a minute. You just took Cam Newton with a number one pick. You are not expecting him to sit behind Jimmy Clausen or Matt Moore to play, to sit and watch and learn when he's the number one pick you've just taken off the board.
Aye, there's the rub. There's the rub, and that is the concern. First of all, we don't know how much money he's going to get, Stephen, because it will probably fall under the new collective bargaining agreement to be determined.
You know
and
what,
it
Jeffrey? It'll be
$12 million
than you and I will make in the next
lifetime.
30 years. Okay?
Lifetime?
I don't know. I might make some bling.
Yeah. Yeah. What day is that going to happen?
I've got some. You think this is the only thing I got working for me?
I got a lot
of million-dollar ideas happening.
My dad called me once and said this, Jeff, I'm going to call you in the next few days, and you be ready, because there's this stock that I'm tracking. And so you know what I did since my dad gave me that advice?
Yeah.
Years ago. No, he called. Well, he can't call now. He's dead. But he did make that call.
What if he called you from the beyond? That would be cool.
I'd probably scream like a girl and run out of the room.
All right, so then I'm going to want to witness that. I'm going to put a camera in your room because one of these days you're going to get a phone ring, and I'm going to play a recorded message that
your
dad left
for you. Here's what my dad would say
for
sure. Oh, my dad said pre-recorded.
Yes.
He would say, Jeff? That's it. My dad called me that. He called me Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff?
Jeff? And I don't know what he'd say after that.
You're so a boob.
Anyways.
Okay, please.
He gave me this he had stock this tip. Hot stock right. tip on this semiconductor
did,
company.
Did you buy it?
Of course not. I am a financial planner.
Okay.
And his name is not Jim Ellis. Okay.
All right, but did
I listened
pan out?
To it and I added it to my stock ticker of stocks
yes.
that I track.
Yes.
I track Apple. You all know, right. I track some of the and I imagine because I remember the day at
did
Disney.
Did it go up or down?
It has basically flatlined for 20 years. It has never gone up by more than 15 cents a year.
Okay.
And never gone down by more than, say, 20 cents a year.
All right.
And that was
so
the hot tip.
That was a hot tip.
That was the hot tip.
Basically a
flatline.
Now,
Apple, when I would have bought Apple, I make mental notes, and I actually write them down. I would have bought Apple today, and this was a decade ago, at $24.
And it is now?
$400 and something, and it's split more than once. So it'd be equivalent to $800 and some odd.
Wow. So basically,
you'd have a 40 banger on your hands.
You didn't make a mistake. You made a mistake.
No, because I don't invest in individual stocks. Apple. I don't invest. The only individual stock I have is my wife's company, and that's
and
because
they give it to you.
Right. They give it to us.
Yes.
So that's the only individual stock, and it's just, you know, I'm not that I'm not.
I was
a
working
that way.
For a company that part of my package
total
was
total compensation
was a stock, and every time I got that stock, it immediately
it tanked.
It immediately became worthless. So
yeah, no, we've
they were
a lot.
Giving me shares of stock that basically, in essence, they were paying $8 for it. You know, $8 a share. But then by the time I could actually do anything with it.
Exercise those options.
Yes. it was like nothing. It was like $2.
You know what, though? If you actually, you could exercise it if you were really, really wealthy and claim it as a loss on your income taxes. And that's a way to offset your income. You could claim it as a capital loss.
It's a loss.
I've learned from my accountant. So there you go. So. Back to football.
I wish I would have known that.
Back to football. So that's what James wanted to know, what we think of Cam Newton. We like him. We like him. We think he's athletic. We think he's probably the most talented quarterback in this draft, but we question his heart.
And we question his
celebrity.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you from saying we there because I never agreed to that he was the best quarterback in this draft class.
I know. You preferred Gabbard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I preferred none of them, to be perfectly honest. But so
but
of the
you
none,
could say the consensus from everybody else.
Certainly the consensus from
Newton
everyone
was
Cam Newton. And if,
I
in fact, he
best.
Develops, he decides, and you know what he acted upon? He acted correctly in the early rounds. Let's say this. Let's give him the credit due. He immediately went on down to Carolina and met with the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Got a playbook Friday once league business was open for 8 hours. He actually met with coaches. He met with Jimmy Clausen. They both are wearing number 2. There's going to be some issues about that. Clausen has no intention of giving up his number 2 to a rook. And he got his playbook, which is fantastic. So he showed work ethic.
I got $5. Says at the end of the day, Cam Newton's number 2.
That would be shocking.
I got $5. You want it?
Cam Newton's number 2, $5. Well, we got to get this steak thing settled. Before
I told you we were. I'll take you right now if you want after the show's over.
Okay.
All right. $5.
We're dressed pretty crappy. You're at your house, so you can put on the clothes. I'm going to go to Ruth's Chris wearing an NFL Ransom Raves t-shirt.
Crisps.
They had one in New York. I just imagine that the prices are higher there.
Yeah. Yeah,
Steven had his $41 steak at midnight. At midnight, Frankie and Johnny's, he begged him to stay open.
I tell you what, we go to this Ruth Chris place or whatever, and their steak and their au gratin potatoes are not as good as Frankie and Johnny's in New York.
I'm
not paying.
You're not going to pay. Oh,
yes.
That'll work out well. okay, so we got through the
first
question.
I'm just going to walk out if you want to pay for it.
Lee Sanders says
what does
this.
Lee say?
He says, thoughts on the talks of Tom Brady's future replacement, Ryan Mallett.
It's got to happen
Look,
for a long
Lee's
time.
Lee's a Patriots lover, so he's got to know.
Tom Brady's not going anywhere for a long time.
To quote
Mallett's
Tom Brady
there.
Today.
Mallett's there as a guy that's going to be a developmental player. He's not going to be ready to play this year.
He's a stock option.
But they are getting ready to say, hey, Tom's getting a little older, and we need somebody who can come in and be the quarterback. And I don't know who they got right now. Hoyer is not that guy.
They got two guys. And here, Tom Brady said today, I'm playing for another 10 years.
Yeah. So Mallard will be there. Isn't it?
M-A-L-L-A-R-D. He's not a duck. He's a hammer.
Where did I get ARD from? You know what? He's a mallet. I know why, because I started to tweet it that way, and then I was like, no, he's mallet. That's right. You're right.
There you go.
See, I gave you
You said you're right. That's weird. I'm in an alternate universe. It's a joke. So, mallet is a stock option, basically.
Are we going to the dinner right now for lunch? Having lunch? Ruth's Rice Krispie Treats?
Ruth's Rice Krispie Treats.
I have to be able to pick up Elena by 1:30. So,
fine.
All right.
Then we need to wrap up this show in
30 minutes.
Okay, so Lee, answer your question. He's a stock option. They're putting him away for a rainy day. They will not use him as a New England Patriot. He will watch Tom Brady work. This is the whole point why Carolina has nothing equivalent. He will watch him work. He'll watch him prepare. He'll watch him on the practice field and see how he comports himself. And then he will
He comports himself?
Yes. And he will say, so this is what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to try and copy Tom Brady. Hopefully that's what the Patriots are thinking. And then when he's finally doing that, they will go shop him and they will trade and get a boatload of picks for him. Or they'll go get another Randy Moss or something like that for him. And it'll work out great for them.
All right.
And that's what's going to happen. And for me, it's the best case scenario for Ryan Mallett. Do you realize Ryan Mallett, Stephen, he blew off one team for their meeting with the organization. And then
he called him sick.
Yeah, he called. Well, then we're finding out today part of the reason his stocks fell.
Yeah.
Is because for the Tennessee Titans, he was 30 minutes to an hour late for their little meeting.
Wow.
So he blows off one team and says, yeah, I got sick. Yeah, that's it. And they said, no problem in Carolina. No problem. We understand. Sickness happens. For the other team,
he
didn't even offer an excuse.
Because the night before, he went to dinner with some front office Carolina people. And then after that dinner was over, he went out to do some stuff.
Ah.
And he stayed out a little too late and had a little too much drinky-drinky and got sick. And he called in sick the next day.
If that's how your work ethic is,
and it's like,
fine, you know?
Wait a minute, we saw you last night at dinner, and you didn't look all that sick.
Okay, last question before we get to the heart of the matter is from listener Samuel, and he wants to know what are your preseason picks for offensive and defensive rookie of the year? That's a fun question. Okay. Offensive and defensive rookie. You sound bored by the whole question, okay. Stephen. I thought it was a great question. I think it's fun.
It is a great question. All right.
Offensive rookie of the year I got as A.J. Green with the Cincinnati Bengals, assuming that they have somebody who can throw a football to him.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be one of the two guys named Palmer on the team. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But A.J. Green could do it, and so could Mark Ingram if they let him carry the ball at least 20 times a game, which he could do. Come on, baby.
I'm going to go with... Bills defensive tackle Marcel Darius is your defensive player.
Darius was my defense, but
we
were start with offense. There's not a lot out there. It's going to be someone will rise from the ashes. I promise you this, but it will probably be somebody that was a third
Green
or fourth.
Is not gonna, first of all, who's going to throw the rock? Second of all, the Bengals are going to be irrelevant next year.
They are. But to be offensive rookie of the year, you don't have to be on a great team. This is not MVP or something like that.
You know what? I'm going to go Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to go Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, you're going to stick with him being the top
quarterback.
I think
he is going to go in. He's going to win the job from
David
Garrard.
He's going to be behind David Garrard.
As a matter of fact, he's going to say, David, give me my job. Get out. Go
Here's
sit back
the reason
in the back.
He won't get it.
And I'll tell you what. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars say, hey, Washington Redskins. Hey, Arizona Cardinals. Hey, all these teams that got quarterbacks.
There's 13 other teams. You have to be careful there.
Exactly. And you go to all of those teams and be like, we got David Garrard on the market, and people will jump at the opportunity, and Blaine Gabbert will be your starter in Jacksonville.
Okay. Well, if Espen.com, there it is, would load any faster here, I'm going to tell you exactly when he's going to get the rock in Jacksonville, okay?
Okay.
So what you're going to have is you're going to have David Garrard start the season.
Mm.
And then you are going to have beginning week 10 at Indianapolis after the bye week is when he's going to get the rock. And he will do well enough because they got Cleveland, Houston, tough schedule, Atlanta, Tennessee. And he will do really well in those games.
So you're telling me that Jacksonville is going to, after their first 10 games, or after their first eight games,
right,
are going to they're be gonna do so what they did with... poorly that they're going to come out of their bye and they're going to say, new guy.
They're not going to do it because of that, but that will contribute to it. But you don't want to throw the guy to the fire too early and get expectations really high. You want to manage the kid's emotional state and not have
get
him be
out
overwhelmed.
There.
So you have him come in mid-season, and that's why he's unlikely to be the offensive player of the year, because he's not going to have the full season,
yes,
and people are going to argue about that. That's
He'll
my
start
take.
From the beginning.
So that is the questions that we have thus far at the beginning of the show. Let's get on to, NFL news?
What do you want to get? There is not a lot of NFL news other than everything that we've already talked about.
I'll update the lockout situation. Right. So NFL news.
NFL news.
All right, so for a brief, probably 12 hours on Friday, overnight Friday, and in through the morning on Friday, you had the lockout was ended.
It was done.
The lockout was over. The league had agreed to not want to be in contempt of court. So they agreed, yes, in fact, all these court rulings against us mean we should probably cooperate, and they ended the lockout. And so on Friday and I think, Stephen, there's a lot of strategicness to this. What happened on Thursday night? Well, the top 32 players, each team got their first pick. If they had a pick, the Raiders didn't. But if they had a pick in the first round, those guys were given the opportunity. And some of them didn't grab the opportunity. Some of them stayed in New York to play. And they lost the opportunity. And there's other players, Stephen, there's veterans that didn't get in to get work. I'm thinking of somebody who broke his ankle last year, a quarterback who broke his ankle and did not get in to meet with the coaches as he had promised that he was going to do as soon as possible.
Okay.
He lost that window, which very bad, very, very bad. And in that window, players came in, as many as were could get there to the facility. They were given playbooks. They met with new coaches so frequently about the new systems that they were looking to put in, got playbooks, and it was fantastic. And it was a really, really nice day. And then the court came and said, no, we are staying Judge Nelson's order that the lockout must be lifted, and we're going to put that on hold while we hear the argument that the owners are making of why the lockout needs to remain in place their appeal is heard.
A smart judge who was like, yeah, this is not good. There shouldn't be an emergency made here because the NFL believes though. And then the other two were like, yeah, it should. And so 2-1,
2-1 vote on this vote from the appellate court in St. Louis, Missouri. And they decided
I think the two who voted towards the NFL got a little pocket money, but that's just me.
Nice. You're saying the judges are being bribed now. That's good.
Hey, you know what? Maybe because I'm reading all these mystery and detective
Steven
novels.
Steven cannot put down his iPad.
I cannot.
And no, he's not playing Angry Birds at
reading.
All.
He's
reading.
I've been a hound reading.
He's been a nerd. He's had his nose in his iPad.
I've read 10 books in 2 months.
How's that for a new cliche? His nose in his iPads.
He's got his nose in his iPad.
Walk around with a nose in a book. Nose in his funny. iPad.
I went to your breakfast place this morning and read a chapter, by the way.
What's my breakfast place?
Over there, South Lake, the Pie and Burger.
Oh, you went to Pie and Burger for
breakfast? Burger, yes.
And you had thin cakes?
Thin cakes.
Thin cakes.
Those were delicious.
They're awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone been there is...
A pancake that rivals Trisha's. Yes.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They are good.
So that is the latest. We expect to hear probably some... All right. We expect to hear probably sometime today on the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis on their listening and their reading of the NFL owner's brief, which was an 18-page brief on why it is that this should be stayed until the appellate
court. What's going on with your bing being every 2 seconds?
It's a chance. It's probably Peter King. Yes, it is.
All right.
And by the way, Peter King's column this morning, we have intentionally avoided the politics of Osama bin Laden being killed Steve and I happy that he's off the face of the earth. His soul is gone. We're happy about that, but we're not starting parties or anything. We're just very, very happy. But Peter King's column, lots of fantastic anecdotes. My favorite is a guy on a plane. One of the sports writer was on a plane last night coming out, and there was a September 11th, a family member of somebody who had died in the World Trade Centers. And when the news spread around the plane, it was one of the nice planes that has Wi-Fi and TV and everything. She broke down crying, and the entire plane basically hugged her. It was an amazing, amazing story. So hopefully some more closure for those people who have suffered horribly. But so PK's column, very good this morning. And as far as going back to the labor situation, I think we will hear in the next day or so. They seem to be wanting to move quickly on this, and I'm very happy about that. That is one of my raves, is that the courts are moving quickly because they understand that there's more than just these really rich owners and little less rich players involved. There's us fans to care about and people trying to make a living with this business and having fun with this business that's called the NFL. So they're moving quickly on this, but if the stay is upheld, Stephen, then I suspect that it will be sometime. It's very dramatic where we're at right now, because if they decide, no, we will not put off the lockout until your appeal is heard. We will, in fact, allow league business to be done until the appeal is heard. Then you will have free agency starting within a matter of days. The league will be forced to put in a set of rules with which to function until their appeal is heard. And then Kevin Cobb will finally get that call that he's no longer a Philadelphia Eagle and he's welcome somewhere to be a starter somewhere, which will be great for him. Right now, he's being a great team guy. Whom did Philadelphia take, the quarterback?
The Eagles selected.
They got a quarterback, and I don't remember which one off the top. They
didn't take him in the first round.
No, it was in the second round. And so, but he had a very nice tweet to the guy that basically said, great pick, coaches. He made a great pick with this guy. And so that was nice. Kevin Cobb has always taken the high
road.
Was it the
quarterback?
I really admire
about the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
I think the Eagles took a quarterback.
Okay. But
another team, maybe?
No.
Perhaps? Okay.
So now you're forcing me to look it up. But that's okay.
I've got the list of the picks by the Philadelphia Eagles in front of me, and there was no quarterback taken.
Okay. They're being offered. Offered a first round pick and things
for
like that.
Kevin Cobb.
Wow. Okay, my bad.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to show you
there was no quarterback.
Sorry. But Cobb was supporting their draft and things like that and being a good company
Cobb's
man.
Not even going to be there next year.
My point, Steven, exactly. He's being a good company man. Even though he knows he's not going to be part of the team's plans.
Nice being a company man.
And that's part of the class of Kevin Cobb, Steven. I think he's a great guy, and I think it's going to be great for him to be wherever. Arizona, who knows?
He's not going to be an Eagle.
We all know that. That's the point, is that he's being a good guy in the meantime.
All right, Jeff, before we get to the first round, I figure what we'll do is we'll do the first round today.
Okay.
And then we'll come back with another draft recap show where we break down the teams at lightning speed.
All right. Ooh, a lightning round.
Yes. But before that, I would like to give you Adam Rank, writer for NFL.com, his top six ways to improve the draft.
Now, who is this?
His name's Adam Rank.
Adam Rank.
He's a writer for NFL.com.
Now, I saw Ricky Gervais on the homepage of NFL.com.
Let me give you the top six ways to improve.
Is this Ricky Gervais's take, or is this
something
else?
No, this is Adam Rank. Adam Rank.
Got it.
Okay. He says, number six, allow future picks. How cool would it be for a team to be able to say, I don't want to take this pick right here in the first round, but I reserve the right to take Andrew Luck next year?
Yeah, that wouldn't work out. That's why we have a draft, because we had a problem 60-some years ago.
I don't know, but that was pretty cool. Do you know that in the 50s, the number one pick was a lottery? All 30 teams were put in a bucket, and they drew out a name, and that team got the number one pick.
Well, that's essentially what the NBA does, but you get more lottery picks.
Yeah, the worse you are. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But that's how the NFL did it. It was like the number one pick. All right, number six, pick up the pace. Instead of 10 minutes per pick, how about 18 seconds? You have 18 seconds.
As it was, it seemed like, so there's nobody comes to the stage on the last day of the draft. For rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, commissioner opens up, says, good morning, everybody. Got booed roundly. And then it's a public address person that says, the Seattle Seahawks have made their pick. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. And then a minute later, the Seattle Seahawks have taken linebacker so-and-so from this team. And then they go on, and it just goes like that for the next, what, 6, 7 hours?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's day three.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they don't bring people up. The only person that came on stage was Dan Loria of Lombardi. He came up to make the pick, the sixth-round pick for the Packers. But that was more of a publicity thing for the show.
Yes.
So for the most part, it's a public address. And, yeah, it goes so fast. If this guy was right and they gave him 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Steve, I see the number 18 there. 18 seconds. How would you have 10 public address announcers talking simultaneously?
Awesome.
Let's see what that would be like. With the first, you got to talk the same time as me. With the 31st pick,
the second round,
the Jacksonville Jaguars, you got to talk Dallas the same
Cowboys.
Time as me.
No, it taking, happens. It's not.
No, they're not going to stagger it. What? They don't have time.
Well, yeah.
With 18 seconds, you don't have time.
Yeah,
there would be 10 announcers going simultaneously.
And it's like one gets off, boom. The next one gets off,
boom.
No,
they would be doing it
on.
Simultaneously. You would have to have multitasking that you can't believe just to keep up.
Number.
See, we'll play along with me to see what it's like.
No.
Do it for a second.
Number four.
With the.
We need to get
16,
through this.
I know.
We need to
so you better do the joke
number
now because you know I'm not going to drop it because I never do.
Move the draft. Instead of always having it in New York.
Where it's awesome.
Move it to other cities. Green Bay, Chicago, Dallas.
Omaha.
They all deserve. No. Why Omaha? They don't have a football team.
They don't
there.
Have anything in Omaha. That's my point. If you want to move it.
There you go. So I think that was an interesting one because even I said that. And why did I say that? Because every time the Dallas Cowboys got announced, a cacophony of boos came down from the mezzanine.
Same was true with the Eagles, the Redskins,
the Patriots, and
the Dolphins.
Nobody really cared about the
nobody's
Bills.
Nobody's concerned about the Bills up there for some reason.
Because it's Giants and Jet fans predominantly.
And everybody hated the eight. The Patriots. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you guys.
All right. So here's the number three way to improve the draft.
Yes.
Let the fans make a pick.
Like that.
Bring back the eighth round, and in the eighth round, fans get to decide who the team should take in the eighth round. How about
that's
that?
That's fascinating.
All right. Another way to improve the draft, number two, take a cue from an American Idol. They're like, how cool would it have been to take in the top six prospects and an hour before the draft and put them on stage and every 10 minutes start eliminating one from
the... Cam Newton, you can go to the green room.
Exactly.
You're safe.
You are safe. That would be so cool.
Jake Locker, you will have to leave the green room.
You're gone.
Ryan Mallett, you should go home.
You shouldn't even
You're
be
not going to want to be here when your pick is announced.
Your pick's not going to be announced still for another couple of days.
For Saturday,
so you
and you're
leave.
Not going to be real happy with it.
So, okay, and the number one way to improve the draft, replace Roger Goodell with Ricky Gervais.
Well, this is not going to happen, Stephen. If Gervais comes out,
and
that's not going to happen.
He says exactly. The first thing that you're going to get is, Goodell will never have to get booed again. It was brutal, man.
Yes, it was.
And then the other thing is, basically, since the NFL has made the draft a primetime entertainment event, let's get somebody out there.
Primetime entertainment host.
Entertainment host to come out there and host the show.
Ricky, I don't think he knows jack about American
and
football.
And how funny would that be?
Those are the same people who wanted us to cover the World Cup,
Steven. Exactly.
And we refused because we didn't know enough. And we don't care how funny people thought of it.
I would have done it.
I'd be all over it. So, Ricky Gervais, I think that'd be amusing to have an Englishman.
So, those are the top. So, I want to thank, what is his name again? Adam Rank for his top six ways to improve the draft. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Finally, as we...
Oh. What, you
as
got
I was getting
news?
To the top 10 list, I was looking for the drum roll the whole time.
Oh,
didn't find it till we were done.
Yeah, it's over.
So let's move on to the draft. Come on, we gotta go.
What? Can I say something?
Yeah, I just whooshed you into it.
Okay. round one of the 2011 NFL Draft.
Let me just say this, by the way. As we are leaving,
yes.
Cirque du Soleil is moving into Radio City Music Hall,
yes.
with the Michael Jackson Experience.
Did you see any of the Cirque du Soleil girls?
No, but I saw some Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders, and I've got this to say. How you doing?
No, because
this, how you doing? How you doing?
About
how you doing?
The flexibility and the
of the Cirque du Soleil team
and the stuff.
I wasn't finished. There's 12 more cheerleaders that I saw that I had to say how you doing to.
Cirque du Soleil girls.
Yeah. I haven't seen a Cirque du Soleil show. I've been out of
what?
Town.
What?
Steven, I know. Where's Emma? She's right.
Wait
here.
A minute. What? You've never seen a Cirque du Soleil show?
What?
Has Emma? Probably.
No, not yet, actually.
Not yet. Then how does she know what I'm talking about? That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I have not been when I.
She's heard her daddy talk about the intricacies.
I've never seen
a
Vegas show because they're so expensive.
You've never seen a Vegas show?
What?
Really?
Oh, I wanted the triple what, but my finger wasn't in the right place.
So hold on one second. Awesome. How many times have you been to Vegas in your lifetime? More than 100?
No, not more than 100.
Near 100?
Probably.
Okay.
I didn't want to answer that question. I was going to find a way to not answer that question. But my first time, I was probably 16.
Okay.
And I'm 46, so
and
30.
And you've never
years.
Seen a single Las Vegas okay. stage show.
To be perfectly honest, I had comps to a Sammy Davis, Frank Sinatra lookalike show.
Okay. And you skipped it?
No, we went.
Oh, so you went.
And it was a burlesque kind of thing, and they did a little raunchy comedy,
yeah.
and then
okay.
the Rat Pack lookalikes
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
That was probably at the Sahara. And
that
was
probably
it was
a long
comped.
Time ago.
Oh, it was 20-plus years ago.
Okay.
And that is the only, and it was free. So
anything
was
recent. You haven't seen anything recent.
Steven,
you haven't seen,
I just told you, the only...
Mystere. Siegfried and Roy.
Seen,
Sigmund Freud and Roy.
Sigmund Freud and Roy, before the attack, have not seen... I have not seen Love, and I'm a rather large Beatles fan.
Right.
So, no, Steve, those tickets are really expensive. I saw in Vegas at
okay, now that
one
I think about
hotels.
It, the three shows that Trisha and I have seen, we've been given tickets to.
You've been comped as well.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
I've been comped the ticket. We were comped tickets to Mystere and to La Rev and to Ka.
I saw Steely Dan and yeah. Michael McDonald play, but that was a concert.
I can't forget, I'm not in love.
Forget
that.
Pig!
So, wow, that's interesting. So, I tell you what, next time we go to Vegas, we gotta go see a stage show.
But Steven, it's expensive. That's why I don't go.
I want to go see O.
And then my family,
at the Bellagio.
There's a Cirque du Soleil show out here in L.A. And they put up the tent, the traveling
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Trisha and I went to that one.
It's with my family, and I was out of town.
And
I
you
was
didn't
out
go?
Of town. I was
went.
Out of town.
Yeah, Trisha and I went to one that in the tent that down
right.
in Santa Monica at the pier.
Well, this one's in, the most recent one was in Burbank.
Okay. And the one in Santa Monica was called Draguillon. And it was just amazing.
I haven't seen him.
Amazing.
I want to.
And
Mystere really
at the Treasure Island in Vegas. Amazing.
I saw a pirate show at Treasure Island.
That's free for everybody.
I know. That's
outside.
Why I've seen it several times. I've seen the volcano
go
at the Mirage,
that's awesome.
And I've seen the lights,
the water shooting at the Bellagio. Yes,
that I've seen many times.
Yes.
I've stayed for hours. People are leaving, I'm not leaving.
Those are all free.
That's why I do them. I love them.
Yes.
I love them.
Okay.
Rock the Casbah, baby.
All right, moving on. We don't need to spend any more time with the number one pick, Cam Newton. We've said our piece.
We're at peace with him.
With the number two pick, the Denver Broncos, linebacker Von Miller from Texas A&M. Now, here's something interesting. Von was one of the dudes that is on the list of players in the lawsuit against the...
Oh, right. He's listed. He's with the Brady
he was the
et
only,
al.
He was the only...
He is the L in et al.
That's right.
He's the letter L.
And a lot of veteran players kind of took offense that he, you know, hugged the commish.
He didn't just hug the commish. It was an extended man hug.
Yeah, it was
I thought it was fantastic because what he was truly communicating with the commissioners, yes, I am suing the NFL right now, but I have no issue with you personally. Yeah, and I want you to know.
He's the leader of the band, though.
No, he is the Ellen at all, Steven.
No, I'm talking about
Manning.
The commissioner is
right.
The leader of the band.
He's the leader of the NFL.
You can say I don't have a problem with you personally, but right now you're leading some people that want to take money away from me. I don't like that very much. But I wouldn't have hugged him.
I'd hug Raj today, especially after the weekend he
you
had.
You would
gosh.
Hug Raj, and I would hug Raj.
Is the decision but that Raj is making player, hurting us financially, Steven? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, Peyton Manning going to hug Raj right
you
now?
You know how many show donors we've lost, Steven, because we're not doing shows?
Tom Brady going to hug Raj right now?
Peyton Manning
going
to
hug Raj right now?
There's a maturity level you have to reach, Steven, when you're in a lawsuit of this size. You cannot equate the individuals with the process, okay? If you're in a private lawsuit litigating between two people, trust me, it's extremely personal. But something this size, where basically you're saying the NFL should not have monopoly status in America, we're challenging the entire idea of an antitrust exemption for the NFL. That makes it so it's not personal at all. It's organizational.
Yeah.
And Roger, which, again, for those fans that enjoy booing him from the side stage, he couldn't even make it to the podium. The second he appeared from side stage, stage right, boo! The We Want Football chance and could only be put down by the tornadoes in the South, and that was some very...
Who's representing the owners? Roger Goodell. So as far as the fans are
well,
concerned...
Well, they write his paycheck of $1, yes.
So, as far as the fans are concerned, who are they going to boo? They're not seeing, they didn't see Jerry Jones up there, Dan Snyder, or Robert Kraft, or I could keep going out there. None of the owners are available for the fans to be able to boo
it. The final deal, and I'm not defending the owners, but I am explaining something, that the final deal that the owners had on the table, that the players walked away from and then decertified, was the best deal that players have had in the history of the NFL. Okay. Will they probably do better? Of course they will, because they want them to open the books. They want full disclosure and all sorts of things. But the deal they walked away from, tell me, the guys that we saw on the play last night or the night before, the three
Jim
guys.
Jim Taylor, Paul Hornig, and
Paul Hornig and stuff. Those guys would have killed for it, especially Paul Hornig that was obsessed about his contract.
Yes, they played in the 1960s.
Obsessed about his contract. Would have died for this.
1960s.
Uh-huh. And it's not then. I agree. But so to say Roger Goodell is an evil person because he's employed by the owners and the owners are the ones who are making it so that there's not football right now is kind of asinine. Go find each owner and stand outside their house and boo them. I got no problem with that. But Roger Goodell is an employee of the NFL.
Do you think we could do that?
I would support players going to owners' homes and booing outside and picketing outside. I would totally support that.
Look at where you live, dog. You got 83 rooms in that mofo,
I can't get
dog.
Within a mile of your compound. Okay, so I'm protesting a mile from your compound.
And you still want more? Come on, man. That is a come on man right there.
To quote one of the guys from Monty Python, I don't remember whom it was, but when they were being interviewed, they asked, you know, about the incredible wealth and stuff that the guys from Python ended up with. And what else he would want to do with his wealth? He says, well, there comes a point at which you can only have so many yachts. You know, when you got yachts that you don't even know about, to quote that great Eagles song, that what's his name? The drunk guy. I only got drunk once, but it was for 21 years. And, you know, got me a mansion. Forget the price. I haven't been there. They tell me it's nice. Joe Walsh. It's a great song. It's one of my favorite rock and roll songs about guys who have lost perspective because of money. So
well, there you go.
Speaking of, let's get back to it.
Well,
we've got a
Von
question
Miller,
from Matt
I think,
in here.
Great player.
How many of the first round quarterbacks were reaches, Steven? This is according to listener Matt. He wants to know this. How many of the first round quarterbacks were reaches?
Four.
And there's how many taken
four.
In the first round? Exactly. Okay, let me tell you how it went at Radio City Music Hall. Picks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everyone's like, tick,
normal.
Tick, tick,
basic
tick, tick. By the
we
book.
Saw this.
We had a reporter in front of us from the Netherlands
yes.
that was making these picks.
Yes.
These were so easy.
And then
pick
the Cleveland
six.
Browns with the sixth pick, and all hell breaks loose.
Well, kind of go through that process for
me. The Atlanta Falcons trade up to the sixth spot for the with the Cleveland Browns. And what the Falcons, in essence, give up, their first rounder this year, their second rounder this year, and their fourth rounder this year. Oh, and their first rounder next year.
What?
Yeah, let me go through that again. First, second, fourth this year. Oh, wait a minute. And first and fourth next year.
What?
Yeah. And everybody's like, what in the world are the Atlanta Falcons doing, giving up all that?
Get to Leo move Jones,
up,
come on.
To move up. Who are they taking? Because we didn't know at this point.
We didn't know
we
yet.
We just knew that the trade had been made, and we knew that all of the trade picks that were involved in the move. And they say, now the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. And we're like, huh, all right, what are they doing? And the Atlanta Falcons select wide receiver Julio Jones.
What?
That's right, Emma. They took Julio Jones from Alabama. Now, I looked at Jay Glazer, and he just gave me one of those little shoulder shrugs.
Yeah, like, got me. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Okay. And so I'm
That's
like,
funny,
because right.
I was looking at Clayton, and Clayton just kind of.
Did he have a confused look?
He's Mr. Molman to begin with. He's Mr. Molman from The Simpsons. And by the way, he's the only guy from ESPN Radio to do the entire draft.
Yeah.
His booth was very full on the first day, less full the second day. He was the only one there on day three. So I'm walking by him all day. Dude, do you need water? Do you need a sandwich or anything? Because I'm going out. And he's like, no, I'm good. People are still bringing me stuff at least. And I looked at him, and he had Mr. Molman. If you can imagine Mr. Molman looking confused, there you go.
Yeah.
That was John Clayton.
So I just say, look, I like Julio Jones, but he's not worth a first, a second, and two fourths. Not worth any of that. Why would the Atlanta Falcons do that? And everybody's like, well, it's because I think the Atlanta Falcons feel they're one player away from the Super Bowl. No, they're not.
They think they are, obviously.
We were too stupid.
Yeah, they were just a little too stupid.
Yeah, I really had to question that at all. I mean, Julio Jones will probably be a good wide receiver. But let me tell you this. A.J. Green's going to probably be a better receiver. And I guarantee you Cincinnati would have taken the same deal for their spot in the draft where you could have gotten A.J. Green. If you think that you're one fly receiver away from making the Super Bowl, then for heaven's sake, do it. By all means, do it. This is one of those times, again, where I want to remind people that the outcome is not going to be indicative of whether or not it was a good
Here's
decision.
Here's my problem with Atlanta. You make the NFC Championship game last year, I buy that you're a player away from the Super Bowl.
That's because you literally were.
You didn't even make it to the NFC Championship game last year.
You lost there to the Steelers. No, not to the Steelers.
They lost to the Packers.
They lost to the Green Bay Packers. The event, but they say, like so many people say,
oh, okay,
because
we lost to the eventual Super Bowl.
Because I lost to the guy who, I lost to the guy who won the Super Bowl, so my team was second best probably. Could have been. Might have been.
In that game to Green Bay, they weren't even close.
No, it was
never close.
It was
48-21.
Well, if I had a flat-out fly receiver that was just lights out
fast
with good hands,
we would have destroyed Green Bay?
No, we would have won by 2 points. And then we would have rolled over the Packers. I mean, the Steelers, because, you know.
The Bears. The Packers beat the Bears.
Oh, then they would have still had to beat the Bears?
Yeah.
They could have beat the Bears.
Yeah.
They could have beat the Bears without Julio Jones.
Yeah.
The Bears, just whatever. The Bears got very fortunate to catch the Philadelphia the week they did, and then they got the bye the second week against Seattle. So, you know, the Bears.
That was
the craziness of day one. There was the quarterbacks. It started because how many quarterbacks were reaches?
Yeah, well,
for
then,
us, it got really weird that in the first, 12 picks, there was four quarterbacks
then,
taken?
Well, then after Julio Jones and that craziness, everybody's still scratching their head. Then the Niners take defensive end Aldon Smith, and the kid looked pretty good for Missouri. He was a good pick, I think, for the Niners.
But that was still a lot earlier than you probably needed to take Aldon Smith.
Okay, but, you know, the Niners needed defensive help, and they got who they wanted. Then here comes the head scratcher. The Tennessee Titans, with Blaine Gabbert still on the board, take Jake Locker.
Now, Steven obviously is going to have issues because he thinks Gabbert's the best quarterback of the draft. So now we've got two quarterbacks gone before him.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Did they just say Jake Smith? And I was like, yes.
Jake Locker?
Yeah, Jake Locker.
What?
And Emma really knows about that because she's, you know, I've been pumping up Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, she's a Pac-10 fan, so she's seen all Washington's games.
And although Jake Locker 2 years ago looked fantastic, last year,
not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, not so much last year.
You want to be peaking generally when you approach the draft. Not
of
on the
course.
Decline.
At this point, I tweeted goodbye, Vince Young. It was nice knowing you.
This is around the same time that Reggie Bush was getting ready his tweet. Thanks, New Orleans. It was nice knowing you.
Well, no, that was much later. That was much later.
It was sad though.
Yeah. So then the Cowboys at 9 finally do something that I had not seen Jerry Jones do in about 15 years. And he takes an offensive tackle in USC's Tyron Smith. That was a really solid pick there.
Great play.
And then at number 10, the Redskins are up, and all of a sudden they trade their pick. And we're like, who are they trading their pick with? The Jacksonville Jaguars. Why is Jacksonville moving up, Jeff? Blaine Gabbert.
I went on TV on Thursday and explained to the nice people of the UK that were not out getting drunk in preparation for the wedding that there were 15 teams in desperate need of a quarterback, which was artificially inflating the value of quarterbacks.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to ask you to tell me what those 15 teams were.
I will. Okay. However, you don't want it right now.
No, I don't.
However, one of those 15 teams was not the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jacksonville Jaguars go and take a quarterback. I'm like, huh? Forget the what's. Jeff's now saying, huh?
Yeah, they took Blaine Gabbert. And I thought that was, although I like Blaine Gabbert, I thought that was kind of a little bit of a brain, head scratcher.
Well, again,
knee slapper.
I really do think that they're done with Garrard. They're going to let him start the season and get the crap beaten out of him and then ease him in there.
So. All right. Then the Lions, I think, got what was pretty incredible. They jumped on defensive tackle from Auburn, Nick Fairley. And can
fair.
You imagine
that's fairly dark.
Fairley and Sue
fairly
together?
Sued. You know, if you've been fairly sued, you know that you've been hurt. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, fairly Sue going to come at people this next year for Detroit. That's going to be very interesting. The Rams, not very flashy, but they went on the defensive side of the ball, took Robert Quinn from North Carolina. I was okay with that.
Sure.
I thought that, you know, the Rams, what they really needed was they needed a wide receiver, but A.J. Green and Julio Jones were off the board, and therefore the Rams couldn't take a wide receiver this early.
Right.
Because the two top guys were gone. I forgot. I'm sorry. after the Jaguars, I skipped the Texans and the Vikings pick. The Texans at 11 took defensive end J.J. Watt
good pick.
From Wisconsin. And the Vikings, which was, I believe, the biggest stretch for a quarterback, taking Christian Ponder as the fourth quarterback taken off the board. So in the first 12 picks, a third of them, Jeffrey, mm-hmm. were QBs.
Exactly.
A third of the first 12 picks.
In what was generally
QBs.
Considered one of the weakest quarterback classes yes. to come out in a long time.
And so everybody now is buzz. They're like Ponder and Locker already gone. And of course, right. Glabert and Cam Newton.
We may actually see picks. The 6 to 8 quarterbacks come off the board that some people have feared.
Yeah, it's like.
You've got to run on quarterbacks.
Yes. Quarterbacks are coming, but
unfortunately, cooler heads prevailed
yes.
in this situation.
Smarter,
and we didn't see any more.
Smarter players. We're taking the Miami Dolphins at 15, basically not allowing the Pittsburgh Steelers to reunite the Pouncey brothers. Take center
too bad.
Mike Pouncey was taken there by the Dolphins.
Great kid,
from
though.
Florida. And that was pretty cool. We
got a nice photo
both
of the brothers together.
Him and Marquise were together. And they were interviewing. After an interview, I actually came up to Marquise and I asked him how his leg was doing. Because the last time we saw him at the Super Bowl, he was in a boot.
Full on.
And he said, this was very interesting, he looked at me and he said, I'm 100%, I feel good, gave me the thumbs up. But then Jeff kept looking at him as he walked away.
Yeah.
And he's kind of limping a little.
Yeah.
So,
there's words and there's actions, friends. Yeah. Actions speak louder than words.
I see you say you're great.
When
but
you turn
you're
to leave on a slope that was the floor of Radio City Music Hall in the auditorium, you kind of grimaced a little bit on that ankle. Yeah. So, yeah, I know what I saw.
All right. The Redskins now, who have traded down with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 16, from Purdue take defensive end Ryan Kerrigan. I did not know much.
A man named Ryan Kerrigan.
Yes, I did not know much about Kerrigan, and then I looked at this picture, and he had this
a lot of hair.
Yeah, but he had cleaned it up because he looked really nice, clean shaven.
Oh no, everyone at the draft looked fantastic. Yeah,
it was a nice, clean shaven kid from Purdue. Big guy. 6'4", 270, I think. 269, 270. So. Right in there, pretty big guy. And I think that I'm not sure what the Redskins were doing. Defensive side of the ball.
There was some head scratching for the Redskins picks.
Well, yeah, it mostly I was like, the defense was not that bad last year.
No.
The Redskins defense kept him in a lot of games last year. Which means, why aren't you trying to get people to help you score points?
Well, because we have no idea who our quarterback's going to be.
Ah, good question.
There's the point.
It should be Donovan McNabb, by
now,
the way.
Next on the board was the Green Bay Packers. Before we get there, I thought we'd go back and talk about the interview with Dan Loria and get that in here, because I really wanted to get that in here because it was such an incredible experience. I had been emailing with the producer of the play, Lombardi on Broadway, and Joe Favre, one of the associate producers. He was great. He checked us out to make sure that we were legit, and he got us some passes for, he actually asked us what night we wanted to see the show. He's like, we'd love to have you. And we said, Saturday night's the only night we could do it. He says, done. And he got us some very nice tickets. It's at the Circle and Square Theater.
It's great seats.
On Broadway. Well, yeah, it's fantastic.
It gives great seats.
And it was
felt really guilty.
You felt guilty?
A little.
A little.
We got great seats.
I never feel guilty about comps.
I see.
Did you feel guilty when we were at Michael Jackson, This Is It, and we were sitting in front of one of the actor's family?
We were in the middle, making his debut
on the West End in London, and we were one row in front of his family. I felt a little guilty about that.
Yes, I felt a little guilty about
that,
too.
I would have changed seats, but there was two of us.
But
there was
those
four
weren't comp. I didn't feel that guilty.
We got them for half price.
Okay. That why they were so cheap?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Still paid money.
Yeah, but not nearly what we were supposed to for seats that good, especially.
And the show was good, too. I was dancing.
Was so,
woo! Bring it to me. Dun, 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 dun. Let him go. Let him go.
Make me feel so good inside.
See, that's why we need a camera. That's why these shows need to get videoed, and we can put the video up on the web.
Okay, I'll work on
that. Okay, can you work on that? Because people
that
would be cracking up, right?
Be done a year
if they
can
see me do like this.
I'm thinking a year from Thursday.
A year from Thursday?
So before I get to this,
that's a long time.
We got to make sure we get in as many listener questions as possible.
But we still have 16 more picks.
We may not get there, Steve. We're over now. We got to go get lunch and stuff. Why the freeze didn't Arizona grab one of the top quarterbacks?
Why the freeze?
He's trying to be polite.
Oh.
He's trying not to use curse words.
I see.
It certainly can't be that they found the guy yet.
Well
there was actually some rumors that came out at the draft that the Kevin Cobb deal might actually be done. He might be on his way to Arizona. There's a few rumors flying around that back-channel communications have happened with Mark Bulger and specifically Kevin Cobb.
Okay.
And that some preliminary trade things are in place. So the second the lockout is over, boom, these players are actually, they know what they're doing. And so it's possible that Arizona is one of these teams involved that has already had pretty extensive discussions about filling that quarterback void, and that's why they've gone in another direction.
And the other thing is, you know, they had the fifth pick, and they had to decide there if they wanted to get a Glabert or a Locker or one of the other quarterbacks that was already taken.
I think they thought, you know what? These guys aren't that good.
Yeah, I think they figured, you know, let's try and go the trade route, and instead with the fifth pick, they took Patrick Peterson, which I think was one of the best defenders available on the board. So you can't complain with what the Arizona Cardinals did. And I do believe that later on they even went out and got a wide receiver.
They got
that,
a lot of offensive help. Running back, tight end.
They got two running backs.
Great. And a wide receiver finally.
Yep. Couple running backs. And I think the tight end that they got from Florida Atlantic is going to help a lot. So very interesting.
Blocker.
You can't really complain with the Arizona Cardinals not taking a quarterback, especially where they were at the fifth pick. There really wasn't one of value for them. And they decided, let's go defense. And I like the pick.
Okay, so in the memory of
what the hell's going on out here?
We actually have Dan Loria. It was nice. He came out to make the pick in the draft, and I've got that recording. And then I've got the official voice of NFL events interviewing him on the side stage before he came to interview with us.
Okay,
and it was a lot of fun. One of the easiest interviews. And here's how it went.
Foreman says legendary coach Vince Lombardi. Please welcome Dan Loria.
Thank you. With the 197th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Ricky Elmore, linebacker, Arizona.
What an incredible likeness you have to Vince Lombardi.
He didn't look a lot like
Cornyn
this.
Said, that's not a compliment.
Like Cornyn said, that's not a compliment.
With Dan Loria, the actor, lead in Lombardi on Broadway. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I had a question for you. I'm thinking about Vince Lombardi. Obviously, the likeness is overwhelming. However, if Vince was alive today and a coach today, how do you think he'd be treated by the press?
Well, you know, you have to understand, if you took Coach Lombardi out of oblivion and dropped him 40 years later, I think he would have a hard time. But Coach Lombardi was always ahead of the time. Had he been able to develop through the 4 years as a coach, I think handling the press would have been something he worked on. He knew what his faults were. Handling the press was one of them.
So you think that was one of his short? So he knew that was a shortcoming of his?
Oh, yeah, he was. He knew that once the players were going to make the kind of money they made, the only way a coach could maintain control over the players was to be an owner, and that's one of the reasons why he left Green Bay, because you can't be an owner in Green Bay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's part of the play. And when he went to Washington, he was given 12%. So he could say to any player, you might make more money, but I own you. I'll fire you. And as far as the press, there's a big part of the play is we use Jim Taylor as part of that subject, was how he was adamant about the players staying away from the press.
That's fantastic.
Mainly, not because he was worried that the players would embarrass themselves, but he was worried about them giving away something that the other team could use.
Exactly. Looking at content, looking at plays or anything like that, how you're practicing, what you're scheming against.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot, because I remember how we were in London at the International Series last year, and I asked Champ Bailey a question about the defense, and he just looked at me, he's like, I can't tell you that, man. Right. So that's exactly what he's talking about. Players giving away maybe a game, piece of game plan that the coach would never want them to suck.
Yeah, and an injury. You know, somebody's liable to say, well, you know, Bart Starr hurt his finger in practice, you know, so we're doing, you know, and now everybody starts bringing coverage up, you know.
Okay, so now you got me thinking about Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody notorious for not being as upfront as a lot of us press would like. Whom of the current coaching class would you liken most to Lombardi as he was back then?
Well, you know, I think a lot of coaches will say that Belichick for sure. Definitely Coach Parcells. I know he's not coaching now, but he was a descendant of it. Don Shula came to the game, to our play, and he admitted that, you know, even though he didn't coach under him, he was a big influence on him. Andy Reid. There's a lot, but I think we have the wrong idea of what Coach Lombardi would be today. 4 days before he died, Sonny Jurgensen was with him in a hospital, and he had a yellow pad out describing the offense they were going to use because of Sonny's arm. And remember, he had lost weight, so he picked up his speed again. And it was the West Coast offense. That was 7 years before Walsh even thought about bringing it in.
In Kansas City. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Steven and I are going to be attending the show tonight, which we're very much looking forward to. So what, based on people who love football, what is usually, what's the most common response you get from them after they see the show?
Well, they feel like they're, especially there's three moments in a play where I use the audience as the locker room. And usually they say, God, I felt, especially the guys who played, I felt like I was in the locker room.
Goosebumps are going to be there.
So before we let you get out of here, Dan, how about one of those classic Vince Lombardi, what the hell is going on out here?
that's in the play. Yeah, I don't know if that's... What the hell is going on out here?
We use that on our show frequently, so now we have a cleaner version from 1946. So Dan Loria, Lombardi on Broadway. When is it set to close, or is it?
Well, right now we're selling tickets to June 19th, but our producer right there, Tony Pontoria, he'll probably tell you, we'll try to go a little longer. And the big surprise is how much the women like to play. That's why we've run that long. And it's because of Judith Light. I mean, it's not a whitewash of Coach Lombardi. His family paid the price for his obsession, and that's part of the play.
Which seems to be all too often the case in the National Football League. Is it possible to even have anything resembling a normal family life today in the NFL?
Not with the kind of hours that the coaches put in. And, you know, I always love that Rex Ryan line. I just did his audio book. He said there's only two kinds of wives in the NFL, ex and great.
I like that a lot. Having been married a long time. Thank you so much, Dan. Oh,
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'll
all
see
right.
you tonight.
Dan Loria.
Dan Loria, that was fun. You know, I have one regret, Jeffrey.
What's that?
And that is that I did not ask him for Danica McKellar's phone number.
I don't think that's probably in his database. That you show was a long time ago.
If you don't know,
Cooper.
Yeah, Danica McKellar was the girl that played Winnie Cooper.
Now I
she's just a few years younger than me, so, you know.
Is she? How many?
She was born in 74. I was born in 69.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I was that old.
Yeah, you were old. You're still young for you.
Hey, dude, she's only 9 years younger than me.
She's too young for you.
When you get to be 46, Stephen, guess what? 10 years ain't no thing. Ain't
I don't
no
know.
Thing.
Okay.
And anyways, but I saw some episodes of The West Wing.
Yeah,
and
she was.
She didn't mature as beautifully as she was adorably young. She's still pretty.
She looks
pretty
hot there.
But I seriously doubt that he keeps in touch.
This picture was taken in January of this year.
No, she looks fantastic.
I mean, not complaining.
Her face is just, it kept the little roundness.
Well, I like the little roundness.
I know. So anyways,
I like all of the little roundness.
Back to the star.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
Dan Lombardi. On Broadway.
Okay, I should have asked him about that. Oh my God, I'm telling you.
Do you know how many of us young men had crushes on her? It's true, man.
Anyways, he was phenomenal. The show
was
great.
I assume you noticed when he made eye contact with us at one point.
Yes, yes. He gave a speech towards us.
He has no problem making eye contact with people he knows and staying in character.
You can't do that?
No.
That's why you can never do plays.
Well, Stephen, I've done live stage. Okay. And when I did, I always avoided. I would look beforehand to know where family and friends were.
I see.
And I would look anywhere else.
Oh, no.
And I would
go right up to my family during plays. Wow. Whenever I had like an aside to the audience.
An aside, but
it would
he's
always
making these
be,
intense speeches.
It would always be right to somebody I knew.
A comedic aside I could do to friends and family. That's
it didn't necessarily always have to be a comedic aside.
Okay. Well, that's probably all the time we have, unfortunately.
It is today. We've got 16 other picks in the first round to get to.
And
we've
got not
all,
get
our,
play this because
all our draft
because
analysis. What?
It went?
What?
You why, can't hate the Raiders because they didn't have a pick. They couldn't
they
screw
did
up
it.
The first
so
round.
So why would you?
They had
why
the
would
best
you...
draft because I would like it. I
oh,
like
I see.
That.
Round one, I would say that the Raiders did have an A.
They had a perfect
for round one.
Perfect
it
draft.
Was great.
Did not screw up
they
at all.
They didn't make any stupid trades.
they didn't pick anybody. That
but
could have
as
that
you'll
team.
Hear later on in our next show, they did again go for speed.
Speed kills, man.
Speed, speed. Speed to hell with how good the player is. If he's fast,
what the hell's going on out here?
If he's fast, we want him, baby.
Exactly.
That's all the time we have. We do got to get going. Daughter's getting out of school early today, and that's just
I'm
going to
get the fabled lunch.
I don't know. It's 12:43,
dude.
I got to pick up Alenda at 1:30.
Let's go now.
We're not gonna. We're gonna have lunch in 40 minutes.
I'm ready. It's not that far.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I can't leave my daughter out at school.
We're not
going to
leave her standing out at the curb.
I would like to savor my steak. Is that so bad? You want to go after?
Don't be silly, Adrian Peterson.
Don't be silly, Adrian Peterson. Oh, my gosh. The Minnesota Viking fan wearing a Green Bay Packer jersey at Lombardi in front of us.
Haven't talked about that.
Oh, man. Lots of stories to talk about when we get to it. But we must get going. This has been Stephen Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Good night.
Thanks for listening.